Another beautiful spring day, and we've got a great show lined up for you. Steve Bamer is going to be with us talking about caring for seniors. You want to listen to Nancy Dignon. She's talking about another weather view with this great weather we've got going on. Randy and Deborah Breenan, the local artists, nationally acclaimed, they're going to be showing at the Chain of Parks Art Festival coming up the end of the month. You stay with me. This is going to be good.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. Merrymaids, call Merrymaids. Relax, and it's done. And by Chelsea Salon and Spa, Tallahassee's largest Aveda lifestyle spa and salon since 1979.
In 1945, Jack Widden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working, every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widden wanted, and it's been the Widden way of doing business for over 70 years. Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or WiddenGlass.com.
With another opportunity to celebrate all that we have been talking about in this last number of weeks and months. This town we call Tallytown. I don't really like Tallytown. It just sounds so juvenile. Tallahassee, come on. T-ville? Nah, that's Thomasville. See, we struggle with knowing better who we really are, and so we send people off to parts unknown. Civic leaders they are, stomping around trying to figure out how we can be more like another organization or another community or whatever. And I mean, you know, there's that. Research is always good. I was taken with the idea that Commissioner Matlow decided, yeah, this is where I get off the bus. So if you didn't catch this, he decided to strike out on his own, and true to form, he found himself among everyday folk up there in Greenville. And, you know, the Chamber of Commerce had organized this contingent, and they were going to go up there and meet with local leaders and, you know, other rich people who could better advise them as to how to be more like Greenville or incorporate some of those ideas. I mean, again, whatever, it's probably okay, I guess. I'm more of a bottom-up kind of guy. I think Jeremy Matlow is, too. So he was out there talking with workers and everyday folks and kind of figuring out what makes Greenville what it is. Some time ago, you know, we had this proposition floating about that, you know, Tallahassee needed to have a slogan to hang its hat on. And I remember talking to Carrie Post about that. She heads up Visit Tallahassee, and her attitude was not just no, but hell no. If there's a slogan to be had, let it come up from among us. Let us better discover who we really are. And I guess that would be a bit disheartening if you thought there really wasn't a whole lot going on. But my goodness, only take a look around this weekend and find out, man, you got word of South bringing it hard. I mean, if you don't do this, it's free. Cascades Park, bring your blanket and your picnic basket. Have a good time, man. Great music. A lot of locals will be there performing. Nationally acclaimed artists, authors, word of South, Cascades Park. going on this weekend. It's happening even now as I'm chatting at you. And some other things going on too around town that I want to bring to your attention. So I've got a few announcements. But I want to leave this thought with you. You know, Tallahassee was recognized. Southern Living Magazine was on the South's Best Cities for 2019 list. And some of the locals chimed in as to the worthiness of that distinction, including our mayor. And pretty much everybody was saying a lot of the same things, you know, our natural beauty and stable economy and a welcoming atmosphere. So the fact that we find ourselves recognized in that way, certainly it's a pleasure. Question is, do we recognize ourselves that way? And this comes back to that bottom-up sort of thing. You know, I mean, can I just leave it with you this way? I have four adult children. My wife and I did our best in bringing these four people into the world and giving them the best we could and whatever we knew. Tried to tell them what not to do because we'd already done that. So they could at least learn from our miserable example. But they have done all right. And I'll tell you where they're getting it right. They're figuring it out for themselves who they really are. And I'm happy to say that we made it part of our strategy over a period of time, maybe not all at once, but you know, the notion was give that individual what they need to learn to, you know, meet the basic needs, right? Give them an environment in which it's okay to question everything, investigate anything, you know, be downright skeptical if you want to, but in doing so, make it your pursuit not to become sort of resolved to withdraw, but rather to press in. I think that's the difference between skepticism and cynicism, maybe. You know, the skeptic says, I don't know. And the cynic says, I don't want to know. I already have my mind made up, so don't confuse me with the facts. I think that it's healthy for us to say, who are we really? You know, and the mayor doesn't know that any better than you do. You know, no disrespect to John Daly. I like him. He's a good man. Does a good job. Seems to. Seems like a lot of people like him. But John doesn't know any more than you do who we are. And all you got to do is figure out what it is that you like doing. How do you spend your time? What makes you laugh? What makes you cry? And why do you choose to make Tallahassee your home for all of that? A lot of people have tried to tell our story, you know, with glaring headlines and some cliche reference to our past. I just happen to believe that we're at a time when it's Tallahassee's turn. It's time for us to tell our own story. I really think that that's where we are, and what is about to come about in that is a better understanding of one another. It's one of the byproducts, or maybe that's the path to this collective awareness. I mean, if somebody from out of town says, oh, you live in Tallahassee, would you be able to tell them what Tallahassee tastes like, or what it sounds like, or what are the people like, and what do they like? What do people in Tallahassee have in common? What are the sights or the adventures and the celebrations like Word of South or Chain of Parks Art Festival or any of these festivals that have already come our way or are about to happen? I mean, all of this going on, what is it in that way that makes us so special? I think we're at a place where we can really celebrate and know who we are and where we're going. I think that Tallahassee is a remarkable town, full of history and charm, innovation and industry, its festivals, its world-class performances. Those are the things you and I fell in love with. And guess what? The world's going to fall in love with it too, and they're going to fall in love with life all over again. So here we are, Tallahassee, with our treasures and our trophies, an historic place that became a modern city, and now is Florida's centerpiece. And we welcome you, all of you, with unmistakable hospitality. That's Tallahassee. So here's to continuing that exploration in our development, in our discovery of just what unique place we occupy on this world stage for all to see. Stay with me.
Is there anything more Tallahassee than Tasty Pastry Bakery? More fresh, more original, more this is why I love this town, kind of delicious? I don't think so. You know, they've been in business since 1963, working through the night to be ready the next morning with muffins, coffee cakes, bread and pastries, and my personal favorite, fresh-made bagels and Lucky Goat coffee. Yeah, it helps get me out in the morning. And they deliver to the many restaurants, clubs, and coffee shops that serve their bread, muffins, and quiche. Never stuffy, never stale, just Tasty Pastry Good. It's the perfect blend of world-class talent, pure, simple ingredients, and down-home Tallahassee family tradition. Maybe they should call it Tasty Tally Bakery, but then why mess with something that's been working for 55 years? Yeah, you want something fresh and fantastic? There's a Tasty Pastry just waiting for you in the Market District on Market Street, 6:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. You want to know more? They're online at tastypastrybakery.com or call them at 893-3752.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
More than 5 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's, and nearly two-thirds of them are women. That's a fact. So here we are in the business spotlight feature of this here fine radio show with our recurring guest, Yasmin Khan. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Many of you know of her ongoing work with Alzheimer's, the Alzheimer's Association. And here we have this event coming up May 5th that's called Rivals in Tallahassee. And this is where two teams of women compete in a flag football game to inspire fundraising and awareness and action in the fight against Alzheimer's. And it turns out that they've pitted the blondes and the brunettes against one another in this rather remarkable fundraising event. One of those, a awesome volunteer, I'm told, Courtney Starling is with us. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, how are you?
We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
And you're actually going to be in the game, right?
I will be in the game, yes.
So you're a flag football person of accomplishment, I understand. Coach, player. Wow.
Played in high school.
Wow. Okay, so Yasmin, was this your idea? Where does this come from, this whole Rivals idea?
Oh, I would love to take credit, but I can't, unfortunately. This is actually the sixth year that Rivals Tallahassee has been in effect, and we have actually been started. The event itself, Rivals, started in 2005 nationwide.
Mm. Oh, it is a nationwide thing.
Yes, it is.
I gotcha. Okay.
In Florida, we're the only Alzheimer's Association chapter or location, really, that has a Rivals event.
Mm.
But we do it in conjunction with our other event that you may know about, our Walk to End Alzheimer's.
Yes, yes, the walk.
Currently, we have 15 brunettes registered and 10 blondes. We'd love to bring our registration numbers up even further. So if you're interested in playing, it's really a fun event.
All right. So it looks like we can go to this website.
Mm-hmm.
And there I can, if I'm able to play, right?
Yes.
Then I can sign up
to
be on a team. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to act.alz.org, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then /rivals, R-I-V-A-L-Z.
Correct.
Got it. Okay. So act.alz.org/rivals. So you've been doing this for 5 years nationwide. This happens on May the 5th, so that's about a month away. What happens? People then can pledge
Right.
their support.
So each player, we encourage a fundraising minimum. So I that see. Fundraising minimum this year is $300. Hmm. So each player is asked to raise that amount, whether through personal fundraising or fundraising events that we do throughout the season.
I see.
And that money all goes towards our cause, so Alzheimer's care support and research.
For those who are yet not as familiar with your cause, tell us a little bit about that, the
sure.
whole point of Alzheimer's Association.
Yeah, so the Alzheimer's Association is the nation's leading voluntary health organization for Alzheimer's care support and research. So we are a nationwide nonprofit organization. Our chapter here is the Central and North Florida chapter, which spans from Orlando all the way east to, or northeast to the Jacksonville coast, and then west to Pensacola. So Tallahassee, of course, is in that chapter. And here in Tallahassee, we put on our Rivals event annually, which was typically in the summer every year. So May 5th is our game date this year.
This being your fifth year that you've done this locally, or no, this is the first year you've done it locally? I know you've said 5 years nationally, so...
Yeah, so this is the sixth year that Tallahassee has had our Rivals. Me personally, I've been with the association now for about a year, so this is my first Rivals event.
Okay. I thought we established that this had been done 5 years.
This has been done since 2005 nationwide.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 2005, it was founded by a young lady named Sarah Abbott. And she founded the first Rivals event in Washington, D.C.
And this will be the sixth time
in Tallahassee.
That we do this here in Tallahassee. Okay. And Courtney, have you played in this Rivals thing before? Is this?
Yeah, this will be my third year playing in the event.
Cool. How did you get involved in the whole Alzheimer's effort?
So I was a flag football coach at Wakulla High School. And my... assistant coach, she was involved in the organization. She had played in Rivals previously. So one day at practice, she goes, you love flag football.
Right.
You should come play. Yeah. We're doing this for Alzheimer's Association. And so I came out and I was like, well, if I, you know, I coach all day, I would love to get out there and play.
Actually do it,
and,
right.
Yeah, actually do it and for a great cause.
So the draw for you was the flag football.
It was.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then found out, oh, this is really cool. This is helping Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
How much money do you expect to raise through this whole thing?
Our revenue goal this year is $35,000.
Okay.
And that's raised through our participant fundraising, but also through sponsorship and ticket sales at the event itself.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ticket sales. Tell us about that.
So game date is May 5th, so Cinco de Mayo. And we have it actually this year at Amos P. Godby High School right off Tharp.
Right.
And tickets are just $10. So participants can come out and they can cheer on their favorite player, whether it's like blondes, team blondes, or team brunettes, or really anyone who they just want to support. And ticket sales can be done day of event, but also beforehand on the website that you mentioned.
So it is a ticketed event for $10,
mm-hmm.
and that's for all ages?
All ages can come out. Mm-hmm.
All right. So even my two-year-old, I'm going to pay $10 to have the two-year-old there, or no? I mean, kids under a certain age are free, or what do you do?
Well, we haven't done that in the past. I don't know if it's a rule that we have, but it's, you know, it's all towards a great cause. So we do encourage that.
So you just count the heads and say, okay. You need four tickets, right?
And it's, it's more of a donation. So we, you know, we call it a ticket price, but it's, you know, if people want to give more, they can.
Suggested.
Suggested.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, again, the event is Rivals. It happens May 5th. It is going to be scheduled, or has been scheduled to occur at Godby High School here in Tallahassee. Make it part of your weekend that Sunday, on, as you point out, Cinco de Mayo. Cool. And we'll look forward to the announcement as to which group, the blondes or the brunettes, come out on top there.
It's going to be the brunettes this year.
You think so?
I think so.
Yeah.
I got a feeling.
Well, they got you in there as their ringer, Coach Courtney Starling. Glad having you with us this morning. Thanks for making a part of your morning.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And Yasmin, as always, carry on with this good work.
Thank you so much for having us.
Alzheimer's Association for Florida doing the job that needs to be done to help those who are suffering with this insidious disease. Folks, that's what I have for you here in the Business Spotlight. You stay with me. We've got more Tallahassee Talks.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We've been talking a lot lately about festivals in this here wonderful town of ours, the month of April being festival month by all descriptions. Lemoyne Chain of Parks Art Festival, right there among them, and I consider them the crown jewel of these festivals. And that's saying something, because you got Word of South, and you got Springtime, and you know, all of these different things that happen that best celebrate who we are as a community. And we have two of those fine artists with us this morning. Randy Breenan, longtime friend of this community for over 30 years, mostly self-taught, but an art major. Randy, how are you?
I'm fine, Brian. First of all, thank you very much for inviting us to this interview. Appreciate it.
Look, this is my honor. I'm among royalty now. So, and then the very lovely, equally as talented, although Randy would say even more so, more talented, Deborah Breenan has been showing among art festivals and places around the country for a long time. This will be your 11th or 12th?
My 12th year.
Showing at Chain of Parks Art Festival.
Correct.
Again, highly accomplished, mostly self-taught, working in watercolor. Is that yours?
Oil and acrylic.
Oil and acrylic.
Yes.
Tell us about your art.
I like to paint scenes of this area. I paint what I love, and I love a lot of things, but particularly our trees and our seascapes and flowers and
And I've and for those who may be unfamiliar with your work, I know there's places online where they can view some of your work, right?
Correct. We have a website,
Our
name, Breenan, BreenanArt.com, and then, of course, we're on Facebook and Instagram.
Everywhere I look. I mean, you're out there. BreenanArt.com, so that's B-R-I-E-N-E-N. art.com, right?
All one word, no spaces.
BreenanArt.com. Yeah, all one string. So she paints the things that she loves. I guess she's got like a full portfolio of
Well, she's actually painted me
portraits
too,
of so. You that's what I was gonna say. You beat me too.
I would like to think that my art is a little more looser, impressionistic. I've always had a heart for abstract, which I don't do a lot of true abstract nowadays, but we kind of meld once in a while, because I'll do seascapes, primarily landscapes, especially around this area with the wonderful scenery that we have.
Right.
But yeah, regional type art mainly of the Southeast.
Speaking of portraiture, one of those faves of mine is the painting you did of your granddaughter.
Oh yes, of Zemi.
Stunning.
Thank you.
You know, we can talk about the technical ability there, because the flesh tones, I mean, that when you're in front of that painting, you could swear you could see that person breathing.
Aww.
And she was 3 when I did that. She's 11 now, so.
So moving.
But we both do some portraiture. We've both been commissioned to even do some pieces for animal lovers, their pets. So, you know, it's a wide range.
What keeps you motivated as artists? You know, the business of art. It's right. It's the stereotypic thing. We talk about the starving artist and all that sort of thing. You're not starving, but it's a lot of work.
Well, number one, we love our craft. I think it's an adage that's well spoken, that you should do what you love and love what you do.
Right.
That's our main motivation.
Right.
I mean, Deborah.
You can call her Deb. The rest of us, she is Deborah.
She's much more motivated daily than I am. I mean, especially when it gets this time of weather. I'd like to be on the lake fishing, but
no doubt.
I think we just have it in us to
express. It's a compulsion sort of,
right? And we didn't really do it professionally until later in life, and that's a whole other story.
When you and I first met. You were out there hoofing it, making it work
in sales,
insurance world, mm-hmm. and all. And I remember buying some mutual funds and insurance from you that were great. So, you know, we loved you for that in our early days.
Sure.
And then all of your work here in the community through your involvement with various churches and organizations, you had a tremendous amount of, I thought, concern for our welfare as a community and involved in some of these larger issues related to social issues of national concern. Mm-hmm. And then it's like you turned the page and here's Randy Breenan, the artist.
Well, and I actually did a stint as a professional personal trainer for 15 years. Yeah. So it's been
radio
very
talk show host,
well,
too,
yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
But I'm going to turn it over there. Here to Deb, because in life, you know, we're raising our children and not really thinking about art, even though we dabbled in it now and then, just to get it, keep our hand in it and our eye in it. But a crucial time happened in her life, and I'll let her expand.
Tell us about that crucial time, Deborah.
Well, I always had the love of art, and my whole life I was saving pictures and things that I might want to paint someday. And I actually attended the Chena Parks Art Festival as a viewer and never dreamed that I would be part of it, but I loved to go and look at the art and the artists. And then in 2006, I was diagnosed with cancer. And one of my first thoughts was, when they told me that it was stage 3, was that sounded really, you know, like it could be really bad.
Scary.
So my first thought was, oh, my God, I've got all these paintings in my head that I've not, you know, done anything with. So that year of treatment and not being able to work, I, you know, fought to get some artwork done for my children in case this was it. But I was healed and cured of my cancer, and I'm 12 years cancer-free now.
Hallelujah.
And, but it started me painting, and never dreamed that I would be in the Chena Parks Art Festival. But 2 years after that, someone saw my art, and they made me apply, and I did, and got my art in. And the next year after that, I was the featured artist in 2008.
Wow.
So I just...
What a poetic tale.
It's the good that can come out of the bad, you know. It
Indeed.
Really showed me I had a gift that I wasn't using. And then now I do. And now we have the bonus of marketing our art and having a nice little addition to our retirement income.
That helps too, doesn't it? Not only did it, well, I guess you'd say, launch your career as an artist.
Correct.
Did it at the same time sort of inform the art that you were doing? Were you more conscious then of the, I guess, the precious lives that we have in our hands?
Definitely.
I mean, was it that?
You know, you look at life in a more beautiful way, a more
your own mortality,
precious way.
Not to mention.
And Randy, as an art, he was an art major in college, and he had never done anything really with that. But after I started painting, he said, "Well, if you're going to paint, I think I'll start painting again." And then he's right along there with me on this journey now.
Neat. And that journey has taken you around the world, it seems to me. You've traveled domestically, but you've been overseas a few times.
We've been able to go to France two or three times, and yeah. That was through connections in the art world that I made. Yeah. So yes, yeah. It's yeah. been a bonus.
So this duo here, Breenan and Breenan, it's really you that kind of set that in motion. Would you agree?
I agree.
Yeah. Definitely.
And
yeah, I just said, hey, if
can I tag along?
Yeah, yeah. If you're gonna, you know, now people
totally
really started, yeah. You know, liking her work and yeah. of course paying money for it. And I thought, I need to get in on this.
Wow.
If possible, if people would accept my work, and they did.
Seems like it's working out pretty well. And folks, I want to encourage you, make sure that you seek out these two very beautiful people and very talented artists. Talking with Randy and Deborah Breenan, a couple of the artists that will be on display for you at this year's Chain of Parks Art Festival, and that is coming up April 27th and 28th. It is our pleasure to have these two very accomplished artists, Tallahasseans they are, here with you this morning. So you stay with me. I've got more with Randy and with Deborah. We'll be right back.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program today or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. 850-644-7970.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back. We're talking about art, Chain of Parks Art Festival, and the remarkable work of these two formidable and I would say prolific artists. If you check out their website, breenanart.com, B-R-I-E-N-E-N. See, it's my first name. B-R-I-E-N.
Exactly.
That's how I know how to do this. B-R-I-E-N-E-N, art.com. How do you stay motivated, I guess? What is it that keeps you moving forward in it?
There's so much around us here in the Tallahassee area, excuse me, that is just asking to be painted.
Always be looking at nature, you know, and what you see. Always be looking at, you know, the way the light hits the trees or the colors change in the shadows. And I think that's what we really see when we're I can't tell you the times we'll be just driving down the road and she's taking pictures out of the car window.
I was going to ask you that. Is that a methodology for you? You see that and you go, I'm going to get that photo, and then you work from that to help you?
Definitely.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
And there's a value at being what's called en plein air art, which is actually going to the site that you're going to paint.
Is that what happens with the St. George thing?
It is.
You're actually
it's
out there.
Plein air, and you're painting out in the elements.
Mm.
And light, dark, evening,
wind.
Sunrise, wind. it's amazing.
Love bug.
Sandbag, those easels, folks.
Yeah, one quick story. Right. One of the accomplished artists around here posted a picture that she'd done plein air. She's an oil painter. And there was all these little look like birds flying, and I said, "Man, you captured a lot of birds." And she says, "No, those were gnats. They all landed on my painting and stuck."
Hey, you know what? Nature has its role in this.
Yes, it does.
It's cooperating, and in that way, do you find yourself wrestling with the subject that you're painting, or how does that work? Do you follow my logic that?
Well,
I was explaining
to somebody the other night. I had a fortunate experience last week. I was fishing at a pond, and eight sandhill cranes just came wandering out and came right up to me, very curious. So I snapped several pictures. Well, when I pick what I want to paint out of that group, I literally, after I sketch it, I'll stand in front of it and envision myself the strokes that I want to accomplish. Mm. You know, what do I want to do with the background? What are the strokes I want to come forth in the foreground and then the texture? And it's almost like an athlete.
I was going to say.
An athlete will tell you they envision the moves.
Yep.
And I think that that applies in
art.
I was
thinking of a major league pitcher.
Sure.
And he's thinking about where that thing
Where's
has
he going
to
spot that ball? You know, what he's going to do.
Interesting.
And then the process starts.
So visualization, big part of that whole. Is that true for you too, Deborah?
It is. You want to see the shadows, the striking parts of where the light is hitting your subject, and really bring that forward.
Don't know how accurate it is, but I remember this quote from Michelangelo saying that he saw the figure in the stone.
Sure.
And his job was to release that figure.
Exactly, in the sculpture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of our favorite things that we fall back on, we're big fans of the European, and particularly the French Impressionists, and there's a great movie about them, but they're running in the woods. It's Monet and Renoir. And he's yelling at Renoir, "See, Rennie, see, I told you there was color and shadows." Because before that, the masters, their shadows were usually just dark and, you know, very one-dimensional.
In the CMYK world, we know that black is not black.
No, but there's color and shadows.
Millions of kinds or shades and tones of black.
Mm-hmm. And I like to focus a lot on water reflections. That's probably... a lot of what I try to do.
In fact, the way that light plays against all of these objects, I had the chance to watch the film Kodachrome recently, and the point was made in the film that light coming through the slide was a much better presentation of the subject.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are working in acrylic and oil, and it's your job to create the sense that the light is coming through, not just being reflected.
I mean, the prism comes alive. You just have to transfer the prism to the canvas.
Mm-hmm. Is there a point at which you're working on a piece and it's just not going?
Oh, yes.
is that more common than not?
Not real common where we're at, maybe earlier in our careers. We had very few total wipeouts, but... the thing about both oil and acrylic, it's very forgiving. You can keep working at it. I like to say that I paint generally during early hours. She paints later. And sometimes I wake up the next morning and see strokes on my canvas that I didn't put there.
No, that can't be.
Interesting.
Little
so there's a collaborative effort going on.
Sure. We have actually done several pieces together. Where
that's cool.
Either one of us might start something and then feel frustrated, and the other one kind of picks it up.
Yours is a love story.
It really goes back a ways.
It really is a love story.
We just celebrated, as a matter of fact, our 49th wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
Last week.
How cool is that?
And we actually started dating 5 years before that.
Yeah.
And I was...
a child.
Well, both of us, but...
14 and 16.
I wow. was the mark, the winning of a bet she made with a classmate in high school. She was a freshman, and I was a junior, and she bet a classmate she could get a date to the junior-senior prom.
And I did.
And lo and behold, I was it.
You're a winner, Deborah.
Little did she know.
You are that. Yeah, so. You have won in life. You have won in your family, in your marriage, in your career, and in your health.
It's been a good run.
My goodness. What an accomplished person. You've made Tallahassee your home all these years. Why?
It's just, there's so much here that it offers. The climate can be tough during the summer.
Mm.
But you get into the spring
Not compared
and the fall.
To living in Illinois.
Yeah, right.
We should count our blessings.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
But even at that, it's basically to us a vacation paradise because you're an hour to an hour and a half from the most beautiful beaches in the world. You can go north 6-7 hours and be in some of the most beautiful mountains in the world.
Yeah.
And you just have the best of both worlds living here.
Hmm. You talked about the oak trees there at Chain of Parks downtown, and I thought of that. In an earlier conversation, how we don't have a sea harbor, a river, or a mountain range, we have oaks.
Right.
This is our signature.
Some of the most beautiful.
Indeed. Randy and Deborah Breenan are good friends, friend to many, certainly friends to the art world, and duly appointed, designated representatives of this marvelous crown jewel, Chain of Parks Art Festival. It's coming up April 27th and 28th. Don't want to miss that. And you want to make sure you find these two, shake their hand, thank them for all the good that they have brought to the world.
Just and, real quick,
yeah,
booth 118
and
117. 117, 118.
117 and 118. Those are your booth numbers.
Yes.
Ah, this is important information, folks, because it's a big place. You're going to be looking for, so 117 and 118. Check them out online, breenanart.com. Our good friends and our guests this morning, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, folks. We have come to the top of the hour here. We've got more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny coming up. You stay with me. We'll be back.
So you hate your job and you don't have the skills to get a new one. Well, you're not alone. Over 50% of the people are not happy with their job and 30% feel like they're at a dead end. Next Professional Development Training wants to change that. They have the courses that you need to jumpstart your career or start a new one. In growing fields like technology and healthcare, their instructors are Microsoft certified and work in the fields they teach. So you know that you're being trained by an experienced instructor. You get to touch, build, listen to, and watch your learning material while learning skills such as Microsoft Office Specialist, CompTIA, Network and Cybersecurity, SharePoint Online, and nursing and medical courses. Start your new career today with Next Professional Career Development. Call or click 850-739-5595 or online at nexttrainingcenter.com. That's nextrainingcenter.com.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour of this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You'll find us online at TallahasseeTalks.com. You can subscribe to the podcast. Many of you have done that. Recall that we are simulcast Saturday mornings, 9 o'clock on 93.3 Real Talk in Tallahassee. And on Moose Magnificat, the online radio station playing local musicians and their original songs. That is the sound of Tallahassee on moosemagnificat.com. You know, I want to remind you that Lemoyne Chain of Parks Art Festival is coming up, and it is going to be fantabulous. It's the last weekend of the month. You can expect to have a first-class, fun-filled outdoor cultural experience at this year's Chain of Parks Art Festival. You'll view amazing, original, and one-of-a-kind works of art in a delightful southern outdoor setting right downtown there in the Chain of Parks area between Monroe and Gadsden. Awesome. You'll enjoy a wide variety of live entertainment, local food trucks and vendors, plenty of good drinks served enthusiastically at the WXYZ bar by Aloft. They're good. You know, this festival is nationally ranked among the top five fine art festivals by Sunshine Artist Magazine. That's the artists themselves giving us that nod. It's an annual two-day festival drawing tens of thousands of people from the Big Bend, Southeast region, and across the country. 170 artists, 170 plus, including our guests today, Randy and Deborah Breenan. If you missed them, they were in the first hour of the show. So, see, you're going to have to go back and listen online or get the podcast. Remarkable people. Good example of these 170 plus who've traveled from all over the country to display their original fine artworks. It's free and it's open to the public. You can find out more online at chainofparks.com. Chainofparks.com. Well, my friend, just in case you were looking for something else to do today, in addition, well, today marks the beginning. Yes, I know you've waited all winter for this. It's the launch of the 2019 dog wash season. I know, Carl, you've been eagerly awaiting Ziggy, wanting to know, hey, Dad, when does dog wash season start? Well, Ziggy, you don't have to wait any longer. Happening today from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Dog wash season. Now you can feel good about this, because not only does your pooch get groomed and all clean and shiny, it's a fundraiser. Yeah. So Leon County Humane Society, they get $10 as a donation when you bring your dog, and they hand wash using a hypoallergenic coconut shampoo. I don't even wash that well, Carl. Anyway, maybe I should start using that. Could help my luxurious appearance. Okay. Anyway, they do that, and then they towel dry your dog, if you want this, you have to ask your dog, I guess, but they do an optional flea dip. They take each flea and they hand dip the flea in some kind of a batter and then deep fry it, I guess. Is that how that works? Carl's looking at me like, come on, just move on. All right. Fine. By the way, Carl is the mastermind here. You know, he really is the show, right? I sit here and I flap my lips. He makes this thing work, affectionately known as King Cabba. King Cabba's in the house. Let's see here. What else do I have for ya? Ooh, Florida High School Football State Championships are coming to Tallahassee, Leon County. Florida High School Athletic Association announced that the Tallahassee, Leon County, and Daytona Beach will host the 2019-20 Florida High School Football State Championships in December. Well, that'll be a big deal. It'll be at Gene Cox Stadium. State championships right here in Tallahassee. Yeah. Yeah, tourist development loves that. So do the hotels. More people. Yes. How about this? Another major award. Leon County EMS exceeds the highest national standards of service for the fourth consecutive time. Commission on Accreditation of Ambulance Services met to confer another 3-year accreditation to Leon County Emergency Medical Services. Well, kudos to all of you with the EMS squad. Leon County Commission Chairman Jimbo Jackson was quoted saying, our highest priority is protecting public safety. Okay, well, that's good to know. It would be terrible to think that it wasn't highest priority. As part of public engagement efforts to update the land use and mobility elements of the Tallahassee-Leon County Comprehensive Plan, Tallahassee-Leon County Planning will host a Rural Economic Development Forum. Now, this is coming next Thursday, 6:30, Woodville Community Center, 8000 Old Woodville Road. This forum will provide attendees insight into the economic opportunity that rural land owners and Leon County hold together. So that's good. Tallahassee, Leon County will host this Rural Economic Development Forum. Again, that's April 18th, next Thursday, 6:30 to 8 at the Woodville Community Center. So, I mean, from dog washes to rural development, man, we got it all going on. Word of South in full swing this weekend. Chain of Parks Art Festival at the end of the month. Man, we're just living the life, aren't we? Oh, by the way, clean up with cash for trash. This is next Saturday, the 20th, from 8 to 2. Community Beautification and Waste Management Facility, 2727 Municipal Way, being hosted by the City of Tallahassee. It's this biannual event. Time for you to clean up. And as you roll up your sleeves, the trash and clutter filling your house and garage goes to the curb. So this event takes place as an alternative to that.
And they got all kinds of information for you. You probably just need to go online. Go to talgov.com/you, as in Y-O-U. Cash for Trash. City's Community Beautification and Waste Management Department putting all that together. All right. Well, listen, we got to move on here. We got another couple of folks coming at you. Got Steve Bamer. And, of course, Nancy will be with me here in just a moment with another My Weather View. Hope you're enjoying these. Gives you a little bit of a background on how weather forecasting, particularly the whole science of meteorology, goes into the business of keeping us updated. You know, very few of us anymore go to the Farmer's Almanac. We grab our cell phone and do tap tap and find out whether we're about to get deluged. Don't forget that you can stay prepared for severe weather year-round if you'll go to TallahasseePrepared.com. That is our effort to keep you prepared for severe weather. It's all part of the show here. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I got more, so stay with me.
I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of My Weather View with Nancy Dignan. She is here and will be with you in just a moment. You know, we learn a lot from her because of her illustrious career as a meteorologist, scientist. She teaches out there at TCC. Hurricane season is, you know, a few months out of the year, and yes, it is time for us to be prepared for such a thing. And our good friends at Plylox out there in Texas have stepped up and said, we want to help keep people prepared with their nifty product, these Plylox clips. Man, they are really super, and they work with brick homes or a wood frame house. You buy a sheet of plywood, sized to fit that particular window, then you use these clips to just kind of push it into place. Remarkable. And Rob Fee and his team out there, they came up with a great idea. It was actually his father who invented this little product. Has saved a lot of people a lot of money and a lot of injury over the many years. Plylox, they're online, plylox.com. And get yourself a set of those clips. Have them there in your tool drawer, in your kitchen drawer, whatever you do. Make sure they got plenty of them on hand. Be prepared. That's the key to this. And that's what Tallahassee Prepared is all about. So you go to TallahasseePrepared.com. You're going to find out what you need to know from local authorities, resources that are available to you, helpful information, even vendors that you want to make sure you've connected with, whether it's glass or window tinting or maybe gravel or asphalt for your yard or repairs to the house, anything like that. You're going to find opportunities at TallahasseePrepared.com. That's it. One last reminder, Lemoyne Chain of Parks Art Festival coming up. You can expect to have a first-class, fun-filled outdoor cultural experience at the Chain of Parks Art Festival coming up the end of this month. It is rated among the top 5 fine arts festivals in the country by Sunshine Artist Magazine. 170-plus artists have traveled from around the country to display their original fine arts works. It's free. It's open to the public. You're going to have a great time.
you need to go and find out more about this. Chainofparks.com is the place. Live entertainment, local food trucks, lots of vendors, a lot of fun stuff for the kids. It is a family event by all means, in a delightful southern outdoor setting down there at the Chain of Parks, downtown Tallahassee. Remember, chainofparks.com. Well, so Nancy Dignan is ready, and we're going to get from her another My Weather View. Nancy?
Hi, I'm Nancy Dignan, and this is My Weather View for this week. One of the questions I got was, what's the difference between a watch and a warning? And when you have an active weather pattern, when you have weather where you have the possibility of tornadoes or severe thunderstorms, you hear both terms being thrown out. So let's go through them. Let's dissect them and see what they actually mean and what you're supposed to do at any given moment. I know, for example, that we recently had a tornado watch. And a watch is almost like it sounds. When they issue a watch, it means watch out, it could happen. And when they issue a watch, there's a group in Norman, Oklahoma called the Storm Prediction Center. And they said, you know what? All of these things are coming together. We got something like a strong cold front. There's warm, humid air. It's colliding with, you know, cold, dry air. High up in the atmosphere, there's a strong wind. We call that a jet stream. If it all comes together over a particular location, they will say, let's try to time it out. So for maybe 4 to 6 hours, because that's the length of these things, you're going to be under the tornado watch. A tornado watch means watch out. Conditions are favorable because they looked at all those dynamics. And what they're trying to do is, if we get these thunderstorms that may spawn something like a tornado, where is it going to happen? To what direction will it move? And so they issue these polygons. They're just, you know, kind of crooked, really, they're crooked squares, rectangles, and they tilt them because there's normally a little bit of a tilt on a cold front, and they're trying to time it all out in that particular location. So 4 to 6 hours, not everybody's going to get a tornado. This isn't the Oprah Winfrey of tornadoes where you get a tornado and you get a tornado and you get a tornado. It's just that if they're convinced that they're going to happen, they're pretty well qualified to state that this is the area that we think it's going to happen in. Those are the experts in the country, and that's what their charge is. This is only what they're watching. So the watch for about 4 to 6 hours, any given location, and they're just trying to time it out. So at that point, you're supposed to be thinking about, what am I doing? I'm in a mobile home. I think, you know what, I'm going to go to my friend's house or my neighbor's house because they're in an anchored house, and I feel much safer with, you know, my kids in tow if we go there and we stay there maybe for the night or just a handful of hours until all of this weather passes. Make a decision about what you're going to do. If you're in an anchored house, just think about what the safest room in your house is just in case the watch turns into a warning. So during the watch, you made your plan. You figured out where you're going to go, where you're going to hunker down for a period of time in case that threatening weather comes. When a warning is issued, you don't have that kind of time because during the watch, you've already decided where you're going to go. Are you in an anchored home? Are you out of a mobile home? You're not going to be driving around. We don't want you in something where air can get underneath. So when the warning comes, you may have, let's say, 20 to 30 minutes. It is a little bit longer than it used to be where you only got a few minutes of warning. Now you get 15 to 30 minutes or so. At that point, you're already in the safest building that you think you can be in. You need to go to the safest room within that building. So if you're in your home and it's an anchored home and you have, let's say, 2 floors, we want you on the lowest floor. If you are in your home on the lowest floor, now we want you away from windows. Very many times people go to the bathroom. Why? Because as long as it doesn't have windows in that room, that's usually one of the safest rooms. It's got some pipes, you know, from all the water coming in, and it kind of solidifies the room. And that's normally one of the safest rooms in your home. We want as many walls between where you are and the outside of your home. So an interior closet, an interior room, just someplace the lowest floor and away from outside exposed walls, because if something hits the outside wall, we don't want you in that room that has had some of that damage. We want you away from that. So we're trying to figure out what the safest room in your home is. One of the things that I tell folks is, you know, and this is true of hurricanes as well, in case, you know, you get the eye wall and it's really dangerous where you are. One of the best things that you can do, your method of last resort, mattress over your head in the bathtub. Bathtub, you've got some area around you that will, you know, make you a little bit of a fort. The mattress over your head just in case stuff falls. We don't want you hurt. People say, I can't lift it. You would be very surprised to find out how strong you are when things get dangerous. Just drag it. Drag it over yourself, hide in the bathtub, put the mattress over your head, and that may be the safest thing for you to do just in case the warning is issued. This has been my weather view for the week, and I'm Nancy Dignan.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Established in 1963 as a Florida not-for-profit corporation, Leading Age Florida is committed to assisting members in achieving excellence as providers, businesses, and employers. Big job. Saying all that, we have one person who is responsible for the success or failure of this entire organization. He stands in the watch. Steve Bamer is our guest this morning.
I stand on that wall for you, Brian.
That's what I was told.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. And by the way, I can handle the truth.
Okay, well,
good. So you just lay it on me, pal.
We'll get some of that today.
The last time we talked, and it's been a bit of while, a while ago, I recall leaving that conversation and thinking we're in a heap of trouble because there are at least two, I think there was at least three, maybe four competing sort of inevitabilities. You know, the rising expectation that we all are subject to. I mean, I want the life I've been living now with my, you know, cellular abilities and my digital abilities and restaurant quality food. I mean, you need to take care of me,
sure,
right? And that rising expectation seems unlimited, I suppose, endless. Meanwhile, the funding of all that becomes even more sort of treacherous and, all right, and, and challenging and imposing. And in between or in the midst of that is, are all of these then senior care facilities at various levels of care, but fundamentally they all end up having to at least provide living space at a cost that is affordable. Oh yeah, and then there's that third leg that says who or what is going to pay for all of this?
Right.
The end user, his or her family, the insurance companies, you and I, the government, or what? So, here we are today talking again about all of that sort of confluence, and I understand that you've got some better news for me.
Well, I certainly hope so.
Okay.
So, those problems fundamentally haven't been solved, and you wouldn't expect, pardon me, you wouldn't have expected them to have been solved in the last 12 months, I don't think. It took us a long time to get here. It's going to take us a long time to get them resolved.
Indeed.
But there has been progress in a number of areas. I think probably the most substantial progress we've made is in the last 2 weeks even. Three of the largest organizations focused on senior living, both in terms of the providers, which is who we represent, as you mentioned, and consumers, seniors themselves, have come together and we have formed what we're calling the Coalition for Silver Solutions. And we'll, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about what that means and what's driving that. But at the end of the day, Leading Age Florida, with our 250 members, the Florida Healthcare Association, with about 500 members, and the AARP of Florida have joined together to work on a comprehensive blueprint to bring to the Florida legislature in 2020 to outline not the problems. You've described the problems, and we've talked about those before. They're not hard to find. Mm-hmm. But our idea for comprehensive solutions, so funding, reimbursement is part of that. Workforce is part of that. I think the if you asked our members what is the issue that keeps them awake at night most, it's that they just can't find people to staff their communities to provide the service. So we'll be talking about workforce and staffing issues. We'll talk about the regulatory environment, which you and I discussed last time around. You know, where there are regulations that cause additional burden without resulting in higher quality levels, maybe there are ways for us to take a look at that regulatory environment. Okay. And the plan is for us to bring all that to the legislature in 2020 so that we're taking a longer-term view at the challenges that face Floridians in terms of caring for seniors and bringing some solutions to the table. It's pretty exciting news.
As the country goes, is it fair to say that Florida has an abundance of seniors? I mean, aren't we known as sort of the retirement state? Certainly this community is known for its retirement advantages. In fact, there are some private groups that are soliciting that. They want more people to choose Tallahassee, I think it's referred to.
Right. Yeah, certainly Florida is the grayest state in the country. And these numbers are well known to us in our field, but you know, on an average day-to-day basis, you might not think about it. Today, about 1,000 people a day move into Florida from elsewhere. So if you think of it in terms of a city the size of St. Petersburg moves into Florida every year.
Right.
Today, about 1 in 5 of those people is 65 and older. By 2030, it'll be 1 in 4.
And I raise that as a topic because if we're talking to lawmakers, one would say, you know, we're the grayest.
Right.
This is a big deal for all of us as Floridians. Is it not a big deal for you? So do you find yourself having to sell that idea? Do they not immediately get it? Or I guess, what's been your experience? I mean, they're way ahead of you on this? Or?
Well, certainly the legislature in Florida is thinking about it and dealing with senior living issues in pieces. And what we want to do is bring all of those pieces together in a comprehensive plan. And if we have some time, I'd like to talk to you about one example at least.
We have plenty of time.
It kind of shows how all the pieces
Absolutely.
Are connected.
Take as much time as you need.
Well, and I think that's one of the things that's unique about Leading Age Florida's position in this coalition.
You have 3 minutes. I'm just...
I was going to start at the beginning. In the beginning, there was, we represent the entire continuum of care for senior living. So whether you're a low-income senior who needs an affordable apartment but no skilled care, or you're a wealthy retiree from the Midwest who wants to live in a luxury retirement community, you're a member of ours. And so we have a view of the challenges that face senior living that's much broader than our partners in this coalition, and I think that's unique, and we can talk about that. But to your point about it being a big deal, it's almost as though you read the press release, Brian, because we announced this coalition at the Capitol a couple of weeks ago with Florida Healthcare Association and the AARP, and Senator Al Britton was a sponsor of a senior living bill this year, which is not going to pass, but he introduced the coalition at that press conference, and he said multiple times, folks, this is a big deal. These are organizations that don't always agree on the solutions to senior living issues who have decided that solving these problems is bigger than whatever historical disagreements we've had, and we're coming together to do it. And he said time and time again, let this not be lost on you. This is a big deal. So I think they get it.
And for Leading Age, your members are not individuals as such.
You represent
the providership side.
Right.
And then you have other organizations like AARP and others that are really advocates for the individual.
Right.
Is that fair?
That's right.
Do those organizations as entities then converse with each other? Are you guys in touch with AARP on a kind of day in, day out basis, or how does that work?
I would say not that frequently, but...
Because, I mean, you each have your own, you know, constituents, we'll say, and objectives and things that you've got to carry out. But I was just curious to think, well, how well do you guys connect or check in with each other? Like, we have this really great idea, and they hate it. You know, so.
Well, we talk a lot. And as I said, we don't always agree on the solutions to the various challenges that we face. But, you know, this is a very different kind of conversation for us. So, you mentioned in the intro the precarious balance. We represent the providers who are trying to deliver service. AARP represents the recipients of the of those services. What's unique and sort of a driving force for us is that our members, as you said, are mission-driven organizations, which means largely nonprofit, very interested in delivering the highest possible quality care in the right setting. And so our members prosper when AARP's members are happy and satisfied with the service that's being provided. And so there is common ground there.
There is a common agreement. Folks, we're talking with Steve Bamer. He is the executive director for Leading Age Florida, caring for Florida's seniors through all of these various organizations, businesses around the state. You stay with me. We're learning a whole lot, so don't go away.
Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. That's the Merry Maid's way of keeping your home or office at its best. And it's what we have come to expect here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Our studios and offices always shine because Merry Maids makes the difference, like they do for hundreds of offices and homes in Tallahassee. They'll do just the same, just for you. And they're right here, giving back to our community and giving you extra benefits, like saving you up to $400 on your first cleaning by giving you extra service, and saving an extra 10% when you mention Tallahassee Talks. Their website makes it really easy for you, too. You can schedule a cleaning and make a payment with just a few clicks, any day, any time, day or night, when it's convenient for you. Call Merry Maids this week, 850-386-2205. That's 386-2205. Or find them online at merrymaids.com.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Back now talking with Steve Bamer, Leading Age Florida Executive Director. How we get through, how we navigate past these sort of mind-boggling objectives, I guess. How do we continue to maintain a level of care? And that just seems to accelerate, right, as you go forward. And so, interestingly enough, when hurricanes come along or some other natural disaster and a facility finds themselves on the short end of that whole process, and they, I mean, you know, there's one in mind that we all think of regarding air conditioners, right? And
unfortunately,
the governor jumps in. I mean, it was horrific. And I mean, where were you that day? I mean, it's like asking you, where were you on 9/11? That had to be a day when you were like grabbing your head and grabbing the phone. And I mean, what a terrible incident.
It was horrific, Brian. And of course, I know exactly what you're talking about. And it was one of those situations where, look, no, we're not naive. Nobody wants to live in a nursing home. I mean, that's. You know, we hope we all live long enough to need some care in our old age, but we recognize that in general, folks would rather age in place. We have a new study out recently from our national organization in DC that demonstrates something we all know, and that is that seniors would rather age at home. Unfortunately, that's not always possible. So that situation in South Florida has the effect of painting the entire field with one very large, very dark, unfortunate brush. And so I do remember where I was that day, and I remember the ensuing arguments very well about getting generators implemented. And you know, you've known our position from the beginning. That was the right thing to do. The governor at the time didn't allow enough time to get that done in a safe way, but it has always been the right thing to do to make sure that the facilities are in place to keep seniors safe in the case of an emergency.
In those situations where you find a provider, we'll use that term loosely here, because as you've described, that's a wide range of providership, right? From luxury resorts down to maybe a trailer park or something. But I think when it comes to providership, what does Leading Age do to try to better protect, I guess, the public, or better ensure that your members are adhering to a set of standards. Mm-hmm. How does that work?
Sure, that's a great question. So I think most people are familiar with the public quality reporting mechanisms, the five-star method that's used for nursing homes and that sort of thing. So that's sort of the public ability to gauge quality as measured by CMS. What we do is the educational programming that you talked about before, that's the role we play in making sure that our members know and understand what the latest regulatory changes are, and they're prepared to implement them effectively. Okay. And so, pardon me, we'll do 50 educational programs a year. And the reimbursement system for nursing homes, the federal reimbursement system, is about to change again in October. Mm. And we'll spend almost all of this year getting our members ready for that so that they understand it. We did the same thing with the generator rules, with federal disaster preparedness rules and those kinds of things. I mean, our members take their responsibility to care for seniors as seriously as anything. Mm-hmm. And we take very seriously our role in helping them understand what is the lay of the land and what do they need to do to get prepared.
That's remarkable, too. And I say this because for those of you who are listening, and this is maybe your first time to have realized that there is this nonprofit association. I mean, this is not a government funded a bureau here, right? These are folks who, by their choosing to have associated themselves in this fashion, pay in so that they can better do what they intend to do. Isn't that
that's a fair
statement?
That's right.
Now, do they risk being penalized or disbarred from being a member of Leading Age if they're in, you know, maybe they're getting a 1-star rating or something?
We that's a great question, and we try to be careful about that because we think we can be helpful if there's a provider that's in trouble, that's not providing quality care. We think we can be helpful in getting them on a path toward improved quality, and ultimately that's what we want.
I mean, do you reach out to them and say, hey, you know,
absolutely,
we're here,
absolutely, and we have resources that we send out to them, experts who can help them resolve the issues they're facing. But I would also say that one of the things that's unique about our organization is that you have to have a commitment to getting better. You know, we don't have members in our organization that are 1-star nursing homes and that are fine with staying that way. We just don't. That's not the culture. Doesn't fit with the values of our association.
I know you do some ongoing continuing education, as it's referred to, for those who are providers along a lot of different topics, right?
Sure.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So as we talked about before, a lot of our educational programming relates to changes in the law and changes in regulation. And what does that mean for you? So as I mentioned, the way that nursing homes get paid through the federal government will change again in the fall. It's a dramatic shift. And so we'll spend this year educating on that. We spend a lot of time training on clinical issues, fall prevention, infection prevention, those kinds of things. You know, it's been several years ago now that the Institute of Medicine produced its report that showed, you know, the primary cause of infections in the hospital environment is clinical workers who don't wash their hands. So we spend a lot of time on those kinds of clinical issues. We also spend a lot of time in continuing education with our members on business practice.
Right.
You know, I fall into this trap sometimes. Our folks are driven by their 501c3 nonprofit missions to care for seniors. And sometimes what gets lost in that is that these are businesses with employees and HR issues and finance issues and those kinds of things. So we do a lot of education on that.
Some of your members are nonprofit, but most of them are a for-profit enterprise. Is that right?
It's the reverse.
Oh.
Most of our members are nonprofit. We have
and then some that are
some
private.
For-profit. Right.
I see.
All private, but some private nonprofit, private for-profit.
I gotcha. Okay. Yeah. And in that respect, and we can talk about this as we close out here, if I'm looking for care for my parents, Leading Age a good place to start? If I come and talk to you guys and say, she lives in Tampa, we're thinking about moving her up here to Tallahassee, can you give me some kind of direction, some advice, people that I should talk to here locally if I need your help?
Absolutely. It happens all the time, and we're very happy to do it. We need some parameters, and we can connect you with the highest quality providers in the state of Florida, and we're very happy to do it.
Okay. I'm going to say immediately on that note that there is a website that we should go to, or you could just call Steve at home. I'm sure nights or weekends are acceptable.
Anytime. I'm
your
always happy.
Your personal email, your phone, your cell phone number, right? Can we just text you?
Sure. Instagram, yeah, whatever you choose, Brian.
Okay. You should see the look on his face right now. It's like, yeah, you funny guy.
I thought for a second you were actually going to say my cell phone number.
We have a website, folks. What is that? LeadingAge.org?
LeadingAgeFlorida.org.
Ah, there we go. LeadingAgeFlorida.org. Don't bother him on the nighttime and the weekend and the cell. No, don't do that. Go to the website, full of all kinds of good information. And then you can reach out to them if you want to by phone or email. They're in their offices right here in Tallahassee.
Absolutely.
That's why it's easy to just snag you. We grab you in here and you talk with us at length and put up with my nonsense.
Oh, I'm always happy to have the opportunity,
Brian. We appreciate it, Steve.
Thank you.
Thanks. God bless you guys and all the things you're doing for all of us and all of the seniors in Florida. It's a good thing.
Happy to do it.
We'll see you again soon. Folks, that's what I've got for you today. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We're the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, playing all local musicians their original songs. That is the sound of Tallahassee on Moose Magnificat. You'll find us at moosemagnificat.com. You can download the app to your phone. That's a good idea, right, Steve?
I just did it myself.
Our executive producer is Carl Cerny, who is stalwart in his duties. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Is there anything more Tallahassee than Tasty Pastry Bakery? More fresh, more original, more this is why I love this town, kind of delicious? I don't think so. You know, they've been in business since 1963, working through the night to be ready the next morning with muffins, coffee cakes, bread and pastries, and my personal favorite, fresh-made bagels and Lucky Goat coffee. Yeah, it helps get me out in the morning. And they deliver to the many restaurants, clubs, and coffee shops that serve their bread, muffins, and quiche. Never stuffy, never stale, just Tasty Pastry Good. It's the perfect blend of world-class talent, pure, simple ingredients, and down-home Tallahassee family tradition. Maybe they should call it Tasty Tally Bakery, but then why mess with something that's been working for 55 years? You want something fresh and fantastic? There's a Tasty Pastry just waiting for you in the Market District on Market Street, 6:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. You want to know more? They're online at tastypastrybakery.com or call them at 893-3752.